If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
तो जो सिग्निफिकेंट सोशल मीडिया होगा उनको तीन काम करना पड़ेगा. पहला, यू विल हैव टू हैव ए चीफ कंप्लायंस ऑफिसर रेजिडेंट इन इंडिया रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर इंश्योरिंग कंप्लायंस ऑफ द एक्ट्स एंड द रूल्स. सेकेंड, ए नोडल कंटैक्ट पर्सन रेजिडेंट इन इंडिया फॉर हैविंग 24/7 कोऑर्डिनेशन विद लॉ एनफोर्समेंट एजेंसीज. तीसरा है, अपॉइंट ए रेजिडेंट ग्रीवांस ऑफिसर हु शैल परफॉर्म द ग्रीवांस रिड्रेसल मैकेनिज्म एज इंडिकेटेड. एंड नेक्स्ट इज, यू मस्ट पब्लिश ए मंथली कंप्लायंस रिपोर्ट कि आपके पास कितने कंप्लेंट्स आए, आपने उन पर क्या कार्रवाई किया और क्या रिड्रेसल किया.
हेलो एंड वेलकम टू ऑल इंडियंस मैटर. आई एम अशरफ इंजीनियर. द इंफॉर्मेशन टेक्नोलॉजी इंटरमीडिएटरी गाइडलाइंस एंड डिजिटल मीडिया एथिक्स कोड Rules 2021, better known as the Digital Content Guidelines, will fundamentally alter your internet experience. While the rules are being positioned as a safeguard against rumor mongering and harmful content, they have a significant impact on your fundamental rights. The key is the shift from regulation to control over digital news platforms, OTT content providers, and social media. No wonder there are fears over the rules undermining free speech and privacy.
All Indians matter.
We have on the show Prashant Sugathan, Legal Director of the Software Freedom Law Center. Prashant is a lawyer with years of practice in the fields of technology law, intellectual property law, administrative law, and constitutional law. He is an engineer turned lawyer and has worked closely with the free software community in India. He has appeared in many landmark cases before various tribunals, high courts, and the Supreme Court. He has also deposed before parliamentary committees on issues related to the Information Technology Act and net neutrality. Welcome to the show, Prashant.
Thanks, Shastra, for inviting me for the show.
You're very welcome. Prashant, before we start, I wanted to point out that this isn't the first attempt to control digital content. Late last year, I think it was November, the government brought streaming companies and digital news providers under the purview of the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting, a move that most people felt was certain to increase censorship online. And now we have these guidelines. What is your view on this?
In fact, the steps taken to bring OTTs and digital news providers, that was the first effort to exercise some control over these platforms. Mm-hmm. Now, this has crystallized in the form of the new rules. This could definitely have great impact on how these platforms operate.
Right. Prashant, could you summarize the rules for listeners? Just a sort of a recap almost.
Okay. The rules provide a regulatory framework for intermediaries, that's like Facebook and Twitter, and content creators and providers like Netflix and Amazon Prime, as well as digital news publishers like The Wire and Newsclick. As far as the intermediaries are concerned, the obligations vary from an intermediary like, say, an Airtel that provides the, let's say, your network services, telecom services, to a significant social media intermediary like Facebook.
Right. And there are further concerns about censorship. There was a recent report which quoted a government report in which Union Minister Mukhtar Abbas Naqvi reportedly said on government communication prepared by a group of ministers that we should have a strategy to neutralize the people who are writing against the government without facts and set false narratives or spread fake news. However, the government leaves the definition of false narratives ambiguous. This makes Naqvi's choice of word telling, isn't it?
If the rules have been framed on the basis of such a thought process, it definitely is worrying. If the objective is to neutralize the views and opinions in digital news platforms, this definitely is not a sign of healthy democracy. And we are in a situation where our ranking, as well as the ranking, published by Freedom House, it has gone down from free to a partly free. That's the kind of situation that we are in. And where the government is trying to bring in more control so that digital news publishers can be regulated or rather controlled, definitely it's a sign of a bigger problem.
Yeah, that's a very important point. There's been a lot of talk of intermediaries and safe harbor. So, Prashant, for the listeners, could you explain what these two things are and what are the liabilities on them now?
Okay, so if you look at the chain between a person creating content, a content creator, to the person consuming that content, the entities that come in between to ensure that the content, that's the content created by this person, the content creator, reaches the end user, these are called intermediaries. Thus, platforms hosting user-generated content like Facebook and YouTube, a telecom service provider like Airtel, web hosting companies like GoDaddy, online shopping sites like Flipkart or Amazon, all these come under the definition of intermediaries. Now, the safe harbor is a concept that provides these intermediaries protection from any liability arising out of user-generated content. For example, let us say someone posts defamatory content on Facebook. In a litigation, Facebook can plead that they cannot be held liable for the content as they have no actual knowledge that the content is defamatory. India has a system called conditional safe harbor where the intermediary gets a protection provided that they follow certain conditions. These conditions are laid down in the Information Technology Act and the rules. The rules detailing these conditions were first notified in the year 2011. Now, these rules have been substituted by the new rules, and we have also brought streaming services and digital news platforms under the ambit of these rules.
Right. So just to simplify it for the users, for the listeners rather, if I were to post on my Facebook page defamatory content about you, then earlier Facebook would not have been held liable because it's me posting about you. But now the new rules say that Facebook is also liable for that defamatory content. Tell me if I've got that right.
No, in fact, that has not changed. Even now, the Facebook will not be held liable. That was pushed in 2011 also. Facebook would not have been held liable. I mean, if you look at it, that was a problem prior to say an amendment which was brought out in 2008. The 2008 at the IT Act was amended, bringing in this provision, providing a safe harbor. Prior to that, to give an example, there was this website called Bazi.com. And the CEO of that website was arrested because a pornographic clip was uploaded on the website. Of course, the CEO had no knowledge about such as, a clip being uploaded on the website and put up for sale. But then he was arrested. But that changed after 2008 when the safe harbor provision was brought in. So in 2011, the guidelines were laid out. And same is there with the current rules. Since the safe harbor is defined in the IT Act, that has not changed. It's still there. But yes, the obligations as far as somebody like Facebook is concerned, that has gone up. That is only concern here.
So now what are the obligations here?
They are classified now as a significant social media intermediary, and they have more obligations right now, based on what all they need to do.
Right. So could you tell us some of these obligations exactly?
Okay. See, the rules create a new category called significant social media intermediaries. A social media service having more than 50 lakh users or 5 million users. They will be considered to be a significant social media intermediary. They need to have a physical office in India, along with three levels of officers resident in India, called a chief compliance officer, a nodal person, and a resident grievance officer. They also should endeavor to have automated tools to prevent and identify content like rape and child sexual abuse material, as well as content that was taken down earlier as per an order. So this provision was not there before. So now you need to have automated systems in place.
Right.
It is the word uses shall endeavor, but then that's a question of interpretation and how these platforms could be asked to do all that. I mean, most platforms even now have these systems, but then now you have a provision in the rules also.
Right. So what you're saying is that if they don't adhere to the rules or, you know, these demands, then safe harbor does not apply.
Right. If you don't comply with these rules, by whatever is laid down in the rules, the obligations that you have in the rules, then you could be held liable for the content.
Okay. Prashant, let's take the issue of video streaming platforms such as OTT platforms. What are the implications of the rules on them?
The video streaming platforms are now supposed to have a three-tier grievance redressal mechanism. This consists of self-regulation by the entity themselves. That is, if you say, let's say, take Netflix. Netflix should have self-regulation and a grievance redressal mechanism. And then there should be self-regulation by a self-regulating body of the entities. So these OTT platforms can come together and create a body, a self-regulation entity. On top of that, you also have an oversight mechanism of the central government. So there's a three-tier mechanism created by the new rules. The streaming services will have to adhere to a code of ethics and guidelines for classification of the curated content. The rules have also introduced a categorization like a U rating, 7 plus rating, 13 plus rating, 16 plus rating, and adult rating. Something similar to the film certification that we have.
Right, right. What about digital news media platforms?
Yeah, that definitely is a cause of concern, the kind of regulation that we have now on the digital news platform. The digital news media will also have to comply with the requirements of a three-tier grievance redressal mechanism. This definitely could pose a regulatory burden for small entities where they need to have a grievance redressal mechanism, be part of a self-regulatory mechanism formed by a group of such entities, along with the associated costs that could come when you have such entities. There's also a requirement to publish compliance reports. So this could create a burden for smaller digital news publishing platforms.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify again, many of the real world or the physical news media that we have, newspapers like the Times of India, the Hindustan Times, they also have digital entities, timesofindia.com, hindustantimes.com, and so on. So does this apply to them, or is it purely for the digital news media platforms like Scroll or Wire?
Right. So this also could be a question of interpretation. So if you're just publishing your newspaper, for example, Times of India, you have an e-paper for that, then definitely that will not come under the purview of these rules.
Mm-hmm.
But anything more than that, let's say if you give Times of India having a separate news publication for a digital platform as such, which is quite different from their, let's say, the physical newspaper as such, then yes. But then we will come to know about all this when you have litigations and then decisions by court of law.
Right. What about messenger services like WhatsApp and Signal? I think that's another area of concern. And also, when you explain that, could you explain what the government means about its traceability rule and how does that fit with the end-to-end encryption that these services provide?
Yeah, in case of services like WhatsApp and Signal, these services are mandated to identify the originator of information.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a court order or an order under Section 69 of the Information Technology Act, these platforms have to then provide information about the originator of a message. So this, what the government thinks is that if you have a, let's say, viral message,
right,
and you need to track down that message as to who started this chain of communication, then they can ask these platforms to identify and tell them who started the chain of communication.
Right.
So, and again, one problem here is if you have the chain and the originator is, located outside the territory of India, then the person based in India will be considered to be the originator. So take a chain and somewhere along the line, you have a person who is based in India. In that case, he will be the originator, not the person who started the entire conversation, but then the person who is based in India in that chain. Right. This definitely could have an impact for privacy and security of communications in these platforms. As then these platforms will have to record the metadata, that's the data about your conversations, not the conversation as such, because that is end-to-end encrypted. So they can't access the, the text of your conversation. But then they will have to keep details about whom you, conversed with, spoke to, who forwarded a message and things like that. So that definitely could be an issue.
Right. But is this even possible? There are millions of messages going out virtually every second or every hour. How can you find, it's worse than finding a needle in a haystack.
Definitely is a problem. Also, it all depends upon the kind of questions that law enforcement agencies and those government authorities could be asking these platforms. For example, if you just send them a message or maybe a screenshot of a problematic content and ask them to figure out who started this, that definitely will be impossible for these platforms because they then will not have access to this content. But then, let's say if you this message gets transmitted to a person or a group, and then he reports that to WhatsApp or this law enforcement agencies, then you have access to that content. Mm-hmm. So if what the government wants is if something like that happens, then you have to trace it back. Mm-hmm. It could be possible to an extent. In fact, there was a litigation before the Madras High Court, and there was a proposal given by an IIT Madras professor, Professor Kamakodi. He give a solution to this, which there is a counter view that this is also not that practical. And with this new provision which says that the originator has to be the person who is based out of India, I'm not sure whether that also is going to work, and you might need even access to the entire metadata.
And what does this mean for privacy?
I mean, this will have a great impact on privacy, because when you use these platforms, there is a there is an expectation that you have that your communication and all the not just the substance of the communication, but also whom you spoke to, whom you forwarded, all this would be kept private. That will be impacted if your metadata is going to be compromised. The requirement to track the originator will definitely have a great impact on privacy.
Right.
Especially if you ask, let's say, platforms like Signal to hold more metadata of these communications. Signal keeps very little metadata of the communication. This could affect security of these communication platforms and also the principle of data minimization, because you're asking these platforms to store more and more data.
Yeah. Not just that. I think some of them have also taken a stand that they don't want to cross a line when it comes to privacy and traceability and all this. Do you think there's a chance that they will exit if this is enforced?
It's quite possible. Even, let's say, for example, for a platform like Signal, they have, let's say, less than 20 employees throughout the world. And they have taken a very strict stance as far as the, technological changes that they will be willing to do. If you have demands like this coming from the government. So we'll have to wait and watch and see what happens in those cases.
Yeah. What kind of arbitrariness does the government allow itself now through these rules? And also, while you're explaining that, could you also explain what they mean by emergency blocking powers?
By trying to exercise more control over entities like digital news platforms and OTTs, the government is trying to have a control over the flow of information. The emergency blocking powers have been misused before, as we saw in the case of blocking of Twitter handles.
Right.
And we could have more issues with the broad powers given to government under these rules. So the Section 69A of the Information Technology Act gives the government power to issue orders to block content. And they also have emergency provisions by which even without hearing a person, they can block that content. So this will have great impact, especially when it comes to something like a digital news platforms.
Yeah,
you have a lot of independent media houses who are doing this, independent journalists who are doing this. And if you're going to control all this, definitely that will have great impact on free speech in this country and media freedom in this country.
Absolutely. What are the punitive measures in case someone doesn't comply?
If an intermediary does not comply with these rules, as I said earlier, then they will lose the safe harbor protection and could be liable for user-generated content. So in the case of an intermediary, let's say if you have a blocking provision and you don't comply with it, you could even be imprisoned.
Right. So when you say you could, I mean, you mean the representatives of that particular company?
The concerned representative, of course, of the company.
Right. And Prashant, what does this mean for our internet experience as a whole?
These new rules could definitely have lead to a kind of a chilling effect of free speech and restrict our choice of entertainment and news. If the government is trying to regulate what you're watching, the kind of content that you could watch. And here we need to understand that when you talk about OTTs, this is not like a broadcasting platform. You decide what content you watch. So you really know what is it that you're trying to watch. So when the government is trying to control even that, it's not like a broadcasting platform like a TV channel. That definitely is a problem. So your choice of content, your choice of news, all that is affected.
That's right. Do you think there was adequate consultation with stakeholders before the rules were introduced?
The draft of the intermediary rules, these were published in December 2018. But after that, there have been significant changes. And there was no consultation on the new rules as such. Also, with respect to the OTT and digital news platforms, the government says that there was some consultation with OTT providers, but there was absolutely no consultation with the users. Same with the digital news platforms. They were not consulted at all before these new rules were introduced and notified.
How much time does everybody have to start complying with this?
As far as the intermediaries are concerned, the rules are already operational. And significant social media intermediaries, as well as digital news platforms and OTTs, they have 3 months to comply with it.
But that's not a lot of time.
It's definitely not a lot of time. If you also have to make all these engineering changes to your apps.
That's right. And lastly, Prashant, do you think these rules are likely to be challenged in court? Because what you're saying is quite significant concerns.
Definitely, there is a great chance that these rules could be challenged in court. There are provisions which could be even against the powers that could be, which exceeds the powers given to the government to come out with rules. So these could be challenged in court for sure. Like what we saw in 2011, when the 2011 rules were challenged in court, which finally resulted in the Shreya Singhal judgment. There were other cases which are tagged along with Shreya Singhal, which challenged the rules as well as the provisions of the IT Act, and the 2011 rules were read down by the Supreme Court. We could have a similar situation here with the new rules.
Right. Prashant, thanks so much for coming on the show and explaining what is a complex government move that has pretty wide-ranging implications for our freedoms.
Thanks, Ashraf, for having me. I also request all the listeners to keep a watch on the issue. It's very important for your freedom on the internet and to support SFLC.in in raising awareness on this. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more, and I encourage all listeners to do exactly that. Thank you all for listening. Please visit allindiansmatter.in, that's allindiansmatter.in, for more columns and audio podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Ashraf Engineer, that's ASHRAFENGINEER, and All Indians Count, that's ALLINDIANSCOUNT. Search for the All Indians Matter page on Facebook. On Instagram, the handle is All Indians Matter. Email me at editor@allindiansmatter.in. Catch you again soon.
A world of wonder awaits at Nemacolin. The Grand Lodge will surprise and delight with 56 stunning suites and 5-star butler services. Indulge in libations at the Circle Bar and Study before you savor the new and enchanting Fawn and Fable restaurant, where the best parts of a traditional steakhouse and a fairy tale castle create a magical dining experience. With fine dining, a spa, and over 100 adventures, golf, art, and wildlife experiences, whatever your imagination holds, Nemacolin has the key. Visit nemacolin.com for more information.